We're doing the Chazon Ish, Emunah u'Bitachon. We're up to what's called the third chapter. Here they wrote it's the 30th section. It's on page Mem. Chazon Ish had said that one of the ailments of our time is that people look at someone who's learned in Torah and they say, yeah, he knows Torah, but he's partial. He's affected by his perspective. And so then the Chazon Ish says that that attitude brings a person to a point where they have no respect for any truth. Because if I could look at anyone and say he's partial, that's just his perspective, so then there's no representation of Torah and truth in the world. And then I don't have to accept what anyone says, because that's just his perspective. Ah, he knows Torah, yeah, but in this he's partial. And that's why the Chazon Ish said it's imperative when we learn from someone that we feel that that person is someone who seeks the truth, someone who really, really tries to get it accurate, someone who does not allow his partiality to interfere. Yesoda de'azot, the foundation for this attitude that those who give opinion in halacha have to be impartial, mitzaua b'gemara Sanhedrin. We find the foundation of this principle in Tractate Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, is discussing how we decide whether to make the year a leap year. Will we add a month to the year? That means that our lunar calendar will move ahead in the solar calendar. That means if I add an Adar, if Pesach would have fallen out in April, now Pesach's going to fall out in May. If Rosh Hashanah would have fallen out in August, now Rosh Hashanah's going to fall out in September. By adding that month, I'm shifting the lunar calendar forward on the solar calendar. So the Talmud says, we don't allow certain people to join in that discussion. Ein moshivin melech, we do not allow a king to partake of that halachic discussion whether to make it a leap year or not, the Kohen Gadol, nor do we allow a high priest to partake of the discussion, Be'ibur Shana, of whether it is correct to make this year a leap year. They would factor in the needs of the masses, they would factor in the agricultural needs, the communal needs, they would factor in many things, and it would seem that the king might have important input. He is the king. The high priest, you know what? He's one of the spiritual leaders. Shouldn't these two be a part of the discussion? Says the Talmud, no. Melech, why don't we include the king in the discussion? Mishum apsanya. Because the king pays his army. And the way he pays his army is divided month by month. And he collects taxes in accordance with the payment he has to pay. Now, if he told the people he's collecting a certain tax for this year, he can't change that in the middle of the year. And if now you make it into a leap year, he has to pay his soldiers one more year, but he can't collect taxes for that one more month. He cannot collect taxes for that month. So then he'll have to pay out of pocket, out of his storage houses. So the Talmud says that affects his impartiality. Because the decision to make it into a leap year will cost the king, because he cannot collect taxes for that extra month, but he will have to pay for that extra month, he will have to pay his forces, because of that we will not include him in the discussion of whether to make it a leap year. Kohen Gadol, a high priest, why don't we include him in the discussion of whether to make it a leap year? Mishum tzina, because he is also partial. Yom Kippur will come and he will have to dunk in the mikvah 5 times. You know what? If Yom Kippur's in August, that's something you can do. If it's at the end of September, it's not so comfortable. It's cold. It's hard for him to maintain impartiality. Look at what the Gemara just said. If he is affected that he will have to immerse himself in cold water 5 times, then he cannot partake in that discussion. Now this halacha is said b'melech ha-chassid she-b'chassidim, about the most pious of kings. Uvekohen gadol k'shimon ha-tzadik, and a high priest who's so pious like Shimon the righteous. So you see, the Gemara was very aware of their partiality. And where they knew they were partial, they could not express an opinion. They would say, you know what, it's going to affect me. I'm human. Oh, you care whether it's a hot bath or a cold bath? That's how you're going to decide the whole calendar for the Jewish people? I don't know. I'm human. So where they knew they were partial, they abstained from expressing an opinion. And from here we can infer that when they did express an opinion, it was because they were super clear that it was the truth. And it did not stem from even the slightest partiality. That's the first proof the Chazon Ish quotes. The next proof is in Ksubos, Daf Kuf Hei Yomen Beis. The next quote the Chazon Ish is going to quote is a story that's quoted in the Gemara as part of a series of stories. If we have more time, remind me, maybe next semester we should come back to this Gemara, because it's phenomenal to see the depth of care that our sages invested in maintaining impartiality. The Gemara gives you a whole page. This whole page in Tractate Ksubos, Daf Kuf Hei Amud Beis, is a series of stories, one after another, about the sages throughout the generations, how careful they were to maintain impartiality when giving a ruling. Where the Talmud says one rabbi was crossing a river, and someone extended a hand to help him cross the river. And then the guy came before him to judge him, and he said, I can't judge you, I'm impartial now. You gave me a hand when I was crossing the river. That's how careful they were to maintain impartiality. If you extended your hand to help him up the steps, he's not willing to judge you anymore. So the Chazon Ish quotes one story from the series. Again, it's a whole page of stories. The story is Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi avragel arisa davemad lekoma leshabta kanta de peiri. Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi had a partner, a sharecropper. The guy was working the fields and he was getting a percentage of the produce. So every Friday he would bring him a basket with fruit. Yom achad ayti lebehei b'shabata. One week the sharecropper brought him the same fruits that he owed him. He brought it on a Thursday. So he asked him, what happened? Why'd you deliver on Thursday? So he said, I have a court case, and I figured on my way to the court case, I'd bring you the baskets. So he wouldn't accept it, even though it was his. They had made the deal. And then he said, and I want you to know, not only am I not accepting it, but I will not be able to be one of the people on the court. I can't rule in this case. You just tried to do me a favor to bring me my fruit one day early, but I can't judge your case anymore. I'm impartial. And then the sharecropper was leaving. We'll continue the story in the Gemara, because here they just write, etc. So the Gemara says that he brought a pair of rabbis and he told them, you guys judge him. He has a court case, you guys judge his case. So they're going over his case, and as the sharecropper was giving his claims, Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi started thinking, hey, he could make this claim and he can make that claim. So Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi was thinking how his sharecropper could win his case. And as Rabbi Shmuel was thinking that, he said to himself, look at that. Look at how I was affected. He did something nice to me this morning, and I said I'm disqualified from judging. And look at that, I'm already impartial over the slightest thing. He did me a favor this morning. He brought me my food a day earlier. And then he said, ooh, how I curse those who accept a bribe. I didn't accept the bribe. He came to me a day earlier and I told him I'm not taking the fruit. And not only didn't I accept the bribe, I told two other rabbis, you guys judge him, I can't be involved in this. And if I would have accepted the bribe, it was my fruit I was taking. See, he wasn't giving me a gift that wasn't mine. He was bringing me my fruit. That's the deal. He was just giving me a favor. He was doing it a day earlier. If someone really does accept the bribe, so then look at how that would affect him. And then the Gemara gives us more stories about Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Elisha, that a person brought him the reishis hagez, the first shearings of the sheep that's owed to the Kohen. And then he asked him, where are you from? And he told him where he's from. And he asked him, why'd you come from there? Weren't there Kohanim there to give them? So he says, well, I needed to have a court case judged. So I figured on my way, I'll bring you the Reishis Hagez. So he says, okay, I can't judge you. So he didn't accept it. And again, he brought a pair of rabbis. And they were judging him. And as they were judging, he started thinking, hey, he can make this claim and he can make that claim. And again, he said, look at that. I didn't even accept the bribe. And it's not even, and it wasn't his to give me. The halacha gives it to me. He owes it to a kohen. And look at me, how I am partial. I've lost my impartiality. And so the Gemara says, here, these are the lessons the rabbis taught their students. Even if it's your own sharecropper and he owes you the crops, but he's bringing it a day earlier, you're affected. That's how careful you have to be to maintain impartiality when you give halachic ruling. So the Talmud gives us a whole page of examples. The Chazon Ish only quoted two. And so the Chazon Ish says, if you're learning Torah from someone, you have to feel like that person is doing their best to be as honest as possible, to give over the Torah the way the Torah wants. He's not giving over his feelings, his prejudices. Yeah, you say that? Prejudice, I don't know. He's giving over the Torah's thoughts as best as he can be impartial and truthful.